are continuing in our series, Urgent Truth, from the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, would you go ahead and turn with me now to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. We will finish out the rest of Mark chapter 10 here in just a few moments. We've said that an urgent truth is a truth that calls us to make a decision in our lives. Anytime you're faced with truth of any nature, it calls you to reflect upon it, maybe accept it, or to reject it. And in our lives, no less is true of when we're faced with the truth about Jesus Christ. We've described it in various ways through this series. We described being faced with urgent truth as kind of like being taken from a very dark room to a room that's brilliantly bright and shining. And sometimes we will adjust our eyes to that, and we will accept it, and we will stay. But other times, many will retreat to the darkness, where it is comfortable. And they will retreat from the brilliance of truth. Mark is the shortest gospel of the four. And I believe he is short and to the point because he wants us to get the truth about Jesus Christ immediately into our lives. We've seen throughout the gospel many people come and be faced directly in front of Jesus. Some who follow him and others who reject him. In fact, last week we saw a man who rejected Jesus because he was owned by his possessions. Then we saw the disciples misunderstand Jesus because of this experience with this rich young man. They failed to see that following Jesus meant relinquishing their rights and their privileges and surrendering completely to him. You remember that right now, at where we're at in Mark, that they are on their way up to Jerusalem, symbolizing the urgency Jesus has to get along with the suffering that is about to take place. We have also learned that as Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, that we are to accept the difficult road of discipleship as well. Now, as these urgent truths are sinking in, as Jesus and the disciples are leaving Jericho, one final encounter, one final healing occurs. This is the last miracle that Mark records, apart from the resurrection of Christ. The last time Jesus will heal someone in Mark's gospel. And it is, we could say, a big one. It is amazing. It becomes an example to the disciples and to us of what following Jesus on the road of discipleship is like. It's one more example of the upside down values of the kingdom. Loss is gain. Gain is loss. Those who wish to find their lives will lose it. Take up your cross and follow me. Upside down values. It is one more example of missing the obvious. The obvious. You know, many times in our lives, we miss the obvious questions when it comes to Jesus Christ. We miss what is glaringly just right in front of our faces. There's a story told about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson who went camping one day. They pitched their tent under the stars and they go to sleep. And sometime in the middle of the night, Holmes wakes Watson up. And he says, "Watson, look up at the stars and tell me what you deduce." Watson says, "Well, I see millions of stars. And if even a few of those had planets, It's quite likely that there are some planets like Earth. And if there are a few planets like Earth out there, there might also be life. Holmes replies, "No, Watson, you idiot. Someone's stolen our tent." Tell me what you see. Sometimes we miss the obvious, don't we? What's right in front of our faces. Here today, Jesus encounters a blind man named Bartimaeus, a beggar. And he asks him an obvious question. Maybe one that all of us should have Jesus ask of us. He asks him a question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Let that sink in. What do you want me to do for you? What a great question. What do you want Jesus to do for you? You ever thought about that? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Now be careful before you answer. You don't get three wishes, right? It doesn't work like that. Jesus is not a genie in a bottle. But if you could ask Jesus for one thing, what would it be? What would it be? Should it be something that you want? Or should it be something that you need? Let's find out if Bartimaeus, the beggar, got what he wanted or whether he got what he needed. We did this last week. I liked it that we did it. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word as we look at our passage, if your Bible's open. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Let's pray. Father, this verse is just overwhelming to us. Many of us have come today wondering, what is it that Jesus can do for us? And may we find this answer today, not in what we want, but rather, Jesus, in what we need from you. May we come in faith, like Bartimaeus came, crying out to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's look at the text today and let's find out whether Bartimaeus got what he wanted or what he needed. Notice, I want you to see, no pun intended, that this man has amazing insight for someone who is blind. "Have mercy on me," he says, "son of David." Now, why call Jesus this? Jesus is called many things throughout the Gospels: good teacher, master, Lord. Why now Bartimaeus saying, "Have mercy on me, son of David"? Why call Jesus this? It's a title And it's a title that shows that Bartimaeus knows exactly who Jesus is. You don't have to turn there, but let me read 2 Samuel chapter 7, just a few verses, 11 through 14. This is the covenant that God made with David. We call it the Davidic covenant. A promise that is made to David. And it goes like this: "Even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies, the Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me." Some have seen then this promise, the promise of Solomon. What is also in view here is the promise of the Messiah, the one who would come to have mercy upon his people, the one who would come from the line of David, who would save his people from their sins. So you see, Bartimaeus knows. He recognizes the covenant promise that was made to David, that one of his descendants would have an everlasting kingdom, one that would never perish, one that would bring healing, one that would bring mercy. It is now time, you see, in Mark's gospel, for Jesus to be revealed for exactly who he is. He is the King. Oh, and a few hours later, maybe not long from now, as Jesus enters into the Eastern Gate, this title, Son of David, becomes proclaimed by the people when they say, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." He's the King. Bartimaeus has great insight for someone who is physically blind. And this is great truth. Even though you may be blind, spiritually speaking, Jesus desires to grant you insight by his mercy into what is required to be a disciple. I wonder at times, do we really understand what we are faced with every time we gather together? Every time we come together in worship, I wonder, do we realize the awesomeness of who we come before? Do you really understand how amazing it is that an almighty God, every week, maybe every day, looks at you and says in his infinite, perfect mercy, "What do you want me to do for you?" That Jesus desires to grant you insight into what you truly need. Insight into what it means to be a disciple. What we need should become what we want. Amazing insight for a blind man. I want you to see as well, no pun intended, amazing results of what happens here. What's Bartimaeus' answer? "I want to regain my sight. I want to see again, Jesus. I want to see." Bartimaeus is going to get his sight back, but listen, in more ways than one. More ways than one. Notice that Jesus says to him, go. Go, your faith has made you well. Go. I find it striking that Jesus tells him to go, yet he doesn't go. He doesn't go away. He does what? He follows. He follows. His faith has given him true insight into what is required to be a disciple. Not to stay by the road, not to go back home to his old way of life, but to walk on a new path, a new road that has been laid out for him. A road of discipleship means following Jesus. And so may I ask this morning, have you changed paths in life, spiritually speaking? Are you still beside the road with your cloak on? Or have you bathed yourself in the awesome light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, thrown off your cloak, pleaded with Christ, and when you've got what you needed, said, I will follow you? You see, it's about following Jesus. Faith implies that something will happen in your life. Something radical. Something passionate. Something amazing. And we may say it in this way this morning. Faith that does not lead to discipleship is not saving faith. Faith that does not lead to discipleship is never saving faith. I don't want you to miss or overlook the parallels between Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, and the rich man, the rich young ruler. Here it is. The rich young ruler and the blind man stand in opposite of one another. They are opposites on the social scale, are they not? They both come to Jesus with a desperate need. The rich man needing his question answered, Bartimaeus needing to be healed. They both receive an amazing response from Christ. But it is blind Bartimaeus who regains his sight and follows Jesus on the road, while the rich man becomes blind and runs away. You see the comparison. The most likely recruit is blind and turns away. The most unlikely recruit, a blind beggar, becomes and has sight and follows Jesus. One final point of note. We know Bartimaeus' name. You know, this is the only time in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the only time where the name of a person who is healed is given. Blind Bartimaeus. We know his name. We even know his father's name, the son of Timaeus. Yet we never know the name of the rich young ruler. Here it is, the rich young man and Bartimaeus change places, metaphorically speaking. Bartimaeus goes from being blind beside the road to following Jesus on the road. You see, faith must lead you to go from being beside the road as a blind beggar to being on the road of discipleship with Jesus. In order to be saved from being dead in your sin, you must not simply believe. You must get up and follow Jesus. You must be a disciple. Don't miss the obvious. So in the New Testament, being saved is not about being converted. It is about being transformed into the likeness of Christ. It is about going from beside the road to a radical new life with Christ. It is about a complete change from one path to a new path. It's the obvious. Sometimes we miss the obvious. I love, one of the things I love is ridiculously obvious warning labels on products. Right? Like on a Duraflame fireplace log, caution, risk of fire. On a Batman costume, warning, cape does not enable user to fly. On a bottle of hair coloring, do not use as an ice cream topping. On a cardboard sunshield for a car, do not drive with sunshield in place. On a portable baby stroller, caution, remove infant before folding for storage. You know, if discipleship came in a package, maybe it should have an obvious warning label. Maybe one like this. Caution, do not stay where you are after opening. What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you need the most? He has already told you your greatest need. He has revealed it clearly. What you need most and what I need most is to be transformed from a blind, dead in your sins beggar to an alive, passionate, radically sold out, alert, obedient follower of Jesus Christ. That's what we need the most. So we might wonder today, how does a blind story of a blind beggar apply to our lives today? What could we do this week? I mean, I don't know very many blind beggars, do you? I don't have many in my life. I've never been a blind beggar, literally. Maybe spiritually I have. What do we do this week with this passage? We say, that's great. I know that I should be radically transformed and follow Christ, but that's awesome. I am. But now what? What do I do? I've always said this, and I believe this. Every sermon should have practical application to your life. In other words, it's not that we come here and sit on Sunday mornings and we say, yeah, that's great, that's wonderful, I filled my head with a lot of knowledge, that's great, I know it, I believe it, and then we do nothing about it. The reality is that the sermon given on Sunday, and I'm off on a tangent, but stay with me, that the sermon given on Sunday should invade and affect your life the rest of the week. That you should wrestle with this truth in your life. That you should be uncomfortable with it. That you should change according to the Word of God what you do. The Bible always calls us to put feet to our faith. Amen? Not fill our heads with knowledge. But put feet to our faith. So let's do that right now. Let me tell you how to do that this week. Just a couple of suggestions for you. First, this. If you have a desperate need, bring it to Jesus. If you have any kind of desperate need in your life right now, bring it right to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2 says it this way. Therefore, he, Jesus Christ, had to be made like his brothers in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, He is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Your cry can be the same as the cry of Bartimaeus. Have mercy on me, son of David. Let me tell you today, there is no need that is too big for Jesus Christ. Now, you be prepared. When you bring your desperate need to Him, you be ready, because the answer might be yes. The answer could be no. The answer could be persevere and wait. He may just change what you think are your needs, put them in perspective by revealing that they are really wants. Jesus is not required to give you everything that you want. Yet He has given us our greatest need: salvation from our sin. And for that, He deserves to be praised. Let me challenge you. At the end of every quiet time you have this week with the Lord, and I'm assuming that you are going to have a quiet time this week, right? That you are going to spend time in the Word, pray, seek the Lord while He may be found. At the end of every quiet time, here's my challenge to you. Pray this prayer in your prayer. Lord Jesus, allow me, grant me, allow me to discern the difference between what I want and what I need. And when you do that, Lord, give me the strength to pursue what I need. That's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? But it's a good one. Give me what I need, not what I think I want. Put my needs in perspective of your eternal kingdom. If you have a desperate need, bring it to Jesus Christ. Secondly, let me encourage you today that no matter how difficult the road of life is, you are called to persevere. As tempting as it might have been for Bartimaeus to go back home to see his family, or to start getting busy on all of the things that he couldn't do when he was blind, think about that. If you had been blind and now all of a sudden you could see, you might have a pretty big laundry list of things that you wanted to do. Right, I would like to see grass. Yeah, that's great. I would love to see a bird. I want to see what a lion looks like. Not up close, but far away. Right? I want to see it rain. I felt it. You get the idea that we may be tempted. Bartimaeus may have just been tempted from going from blind to sight to be selfish in his sight. Yet he didn't. Instead, he went on the road with Jesus. In light of his temptation to be selfish, Bartimaeus was unselfish. He joined Jesus. Here's my challenge. I want you to intentionally do something this week. I would like you to encourage one other follower of Christ this week who you know is struggling to persevere in life. Let me say, if you don't know any brothers or sisters in Christ like that, then you might just need to open your eyes. No pun intended. They're all around you. Maybe, just maybe, they're sitting right next to you. We are called to encourage one another, to build each other up in the faith, to love on one another in such a way that peace is produced in our lives. If you know someone this week who is struggling to persevere for whatever reason, you do what you're called to do. You build them up and love on them. Not criticize them. Not fix them. There's a difference. Encourage them. Encourage them. Bartimaeus surely needed encouragement as he traveled along the road. Every person craves it, I guarantee it. Every person. Give it this week. Here's the bottom line. Saving faith should change you. Saving faith should change you. It should take you from where you are to where you should be. Discipleship is always active. It's never passive. If you are living passively this morning as a follower of Christ, let me say to you and be bold, get up. Get up out of your casual Christianity and start following the Master. If you are blind and dead in your sins, then seek to be saved, restored, enabled, and commissioned as a disciple. Do not wait. Do it now. Take your cloak, throw it aside, and come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we pray that in the lives of those who are here, God, that you would, Father, we ask, restore, build up, heal, change, encourage. We pray, God, if there are lives today here that need to be immediately transformed because of the gospel, the fact that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, we pray that that would be done immediately and urgently in their life. As we're faced with the truth about Jesus Christ, we will not and should not leave this place the same. If there are some today here, Lord, who are struggling with a desperate need, God, would you transform that need? God, would you use it in their lives? Maybe for some, Lord, would you wipe it away immediately right now? Maybe for others, Lord, would you give them the grace and the strength they need to persevere through their trial? Lord, I just pray that none of us here would remain as blind beggars by the side of the road. Rather, indeed, would we have full insight? Would we be able to see clearly what it takes to follow Jesus? And once we have seen it, to not shrink back, to never turn away, but to be on the road. For truly, Jesus Christ, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through you. We ask this for the sake of His kingdom, the eternal kingdom, coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.